I'm your host, Lee W. Johnson, and welcome to my podcast, where I talk about all things related to magic, witchcraft, demonolatry, and a whole load of other related things. If you would like to find out more about me, get in touch with me, or hire me for a service, please go to my website, leewjohnson.com, or check out my link tree in the description of this podcast. So the terms, words, demonology, demonolatry, and demonosophy sometimes cause a bit of confusion, and every now and again people ask about these words. So I just want to actually discuss each of them and have a look at the differences, and if there is a major difference actually. Alright, so let's get into that. Okay, so the three words or terms. I think what we might find is that, I mean, demonology is an old word, goes back a long way. But when we come to demonolatry and demonosophy, they are newer words, well, newer in the mainstream, let's put it that way. Demonolatry, I think, has become something that people now recognize. However, to the best of my knowledge, the term demonolatry only started to be spoken of when S. Connolly started to publish her books, because before then it was traditional and family generational demonolatry that they were practicing. And I think before that you'll probably find that people referred to demonology or Goetic magic or ceremonial magic or something like that. But the specific term demonolatry wasn't really found in the mainstream until, as I said, S. Connolly started to publish. And her first book, which was Modern Demonolatry, was published in 1998. So I'd say maybe round about the around about 2010, you may have started to come across demonolatry more and more in the mainstream. And as I said, now it's just a word that most people know in the magical communities anyway. Demonosophy, on the other hand, I don't know where it came from. Don't know where it originated from. Can't put my finger on it. But what I really want to discuss today is the difference between, the difference between demonolatry and demonosophy, and if there is actually a difference. Because honestly, I don't know why the word demonosopher or demonosophy even came about. And there's a good reason for this, which I should be able to outline in this video today. Now, the other thing I just want to note before we get into that is that when it comes to the spellings of these words, demonology stays the same. It's D-E-M-O-N. It's the English, modern English use of the word demon. Whereas when it comes to demonolatry and demonosophy, they can be spelt D-E-M-O-N, etc., or D-A-E-M-O-N, etc. And the main reason for this is that, we're trying to get to the root of the word demon or daemon from the Latin. It meant something different than tutelary spirit, demigod, guiding spirit, all of those things, as opposed to what the modern English word D-E-M-O-N has come to mean in the Western societies of being an evil spirit that is out to harm and get you. So just trying to move away from that back to its original interpretation and definition. All right, so let's have a look. Starting with demonology. So demonology is really the study of demons. And you'll find that people who call themselves demonologists are usually, not all the time, but usually Christians. And they are studying the demons and, you know, talking trash about them, not really understanding them from a broader perspective, but only from that Christian worldview. So because of this, you'll probably find that people who work with demons, like demonologists and demonosophers, will not use the word demonology or demonologist, because it's just a bad word. All right, so that's a simple one. Then we get into demonolatry. Now, the suffix olatry literally means worship of. So demonolatry is the worship of demons. Now, I think what we need to bring focus to here is the word worship. All right, so we're going to get into the etymology of the words. So I went to etimonline.com, which is the place I always go to when I want to look at the origins of words. And let's have a look. So the word worship itself. So we've had a look at olatry. So it means the worship or the devotion to. In some instances, people will say that it's a fundamental worship of, or a fanatical worship of. But I don't think it's fanatical at all. It's just a worship or devotion to. So the word worship comes from Old English worship. I'll put the words up here so you can see how they're actually spelt. Worship from the Anglian, worship from the West Saxon, which mean condition of being worthy, dignity, glory, distinction, honor, renown. From wiorth, which means worthy or worth, plus the suffix ship or ship. Okay, so as I'm saying these words, the Old English and the Anglian and such things, I'm going to put them up here somewhere. All right, let's have a look. So what we find is a combination of the words worth and the suffix ship. So if we had to actually look at the etymology of each of these. So worth is from the Old English wiorth, which is significant, valuable, of value, valued, appreciated, highly thought of, deserving, meriting, honorable, noble, of high rank, suitable for, proper, fit, capable. Okay, and the suffix ship, meaning quality, condition, act, power, skill, office, position, relation between. So when we put these two words together, worth and ship, because that's where worship comes from, worth-ship, what we're looking at is the consideration that we consider the spirit, the demon that we're working with, to be worthy of the station or the office that that spirit holds, and therefore worthy of our honor and the interaction that we have with that spirit. So what this means is, you know, a lot of people take this word worship and they think it's all about Christianity, and it's the act of throwing yourself at the mercy of a spirit, a god, the god, whatever. Okay, it's got nothing to do with throwing yourself at the mercy out of it. Really is giving the honor to a demon, because they are worth that honor. They are worth the station or the office that they hold. Okay, so we're just really giving respect, and we are working with that demon, creating a relationship with that demon or that spirit. Okay, so then we get on to demonosophy. So I can't be quite sure. This is just a suspicion, but I think the word demonosopher and demonosophy probably originated with Satan and Sons, but could be completely wrong there. I don't know, but that's my best guess. All right, so if we do have a look at the Satan and Sons website, they have a definition which is daemonosophy, meaning to work and walk with learning, knowledge, and wisdom from the demons and dark lords, and working with companion demons and the dark lords to learn to leave. I assume that's a mistyping, and it should have been lead. So let me read that bit again. And working with companion demons and the dark lords to learn to lead an inspired and empowered life. Demonosophers invite demons to join us on this journey and are our guides and mentors. Okay. So just to have a look at the word, the suffix sophi in this case means it's a word forming element meaning knowledge, from Old French sophie, from Latin sophia, and from Greek sophia, from sophia, which means skill, wisdom, knowledge. So if we take all of that into consideration, can you see a difference? Because I can't see a difference. I think it really is probably just a case of not understanding what the word worship means, and just taking that reaction of it being purely based in this Christian worldview, which is about throwing yourself at the mercy of, instead of that relationship that we create. Because when we're working with demons, the demons don't just sit there and go, oh, pray to me, proselytize yourself before me. You know, the demons want you to be the better, be the best you can possibly be. And they're not going to do things for you if you just ask for them. They're not going to bring you riches or bring you that girlfriend or boyfriend. They're not going to do anything. What they're going to do is they're going to guide you, and they're going to teach you how to do it yourself, how to build up yourself, build up the courage you need, build up the knowledge that you need in order to achieve something that you are looking to achieve. So really, when it comes to the idea of worshipping a spirit, it really is just considering them to be worthy of the station, the ship, that they hold, and therefore worthy of the honor. And therefore we work with them, we walk with them, and they walk with us. And we create that relationship. Okay? That's really what demonolatry is, and worshipping the demons, which means that, from what I can understand, demonosophy is exactly the same thing. It's just that somebody misunderstood the word worship, took it out of context, and decided to be clever and just create a new word for the fun of it. That's my opinion anyway. Alright, so now you understand all three words. I'm sure some of those will come up at some stage. We can have a look at those and take them to pieces and have a look at the etymology and see what they actually mean. And, you know, I think when it comes to any word, any word, look at the etymology of it, where its roots were, where it came from. Because in a lot of cases, worship is a standard English word. So, you know, taking just that word worship, and we are led to believe it means a certain thing, and it doesn't. It means something completely different. So really, have a look at the etymology of words. It's a fascinating topic. I think it's brilliant to do. And you can go to Etym Online. It's etymonline.com. And plug your word in there, and it will give you a breakdown of exactly where the word came from, when it started being used, its roots, you know, in other languages, other older languages. So it really is fascinating to find out. Welcome back to the Ask Lee segment, and as always, if you have any questions that you would like me to answer on the segment, then simply leave those questions in the comments or to the video. If you're listening on the podcast, you can leave a voice note if you go to anchor.fm/LeeWJohnson. And let's have a look. Today's question is from Alchemy Lover. And it's regarding demons that can assist in necromancy. Okay, so straight into Alchemy Lover's question. They did say, thanks Lee, new to your channel, I admit to binge watching a lot of your vids, great content. Thank you, and thank you for joining. I have a question, which demon do you suggest working with for assistance in necromancy? Cheers. All right, so there's quite a few demons you can work with in this regard, and it obviously, you know, when we think of necromancy, there's an old view and a new view, if I can put it that way. So the old view was that necromancy was divination by raising the dead. Okay, and anything which has mancy at the end is usually referring to divination using. So it's a method of divination. However, necromancy has come to mean more than just the divinatory aspect. So, you know, within the purview of necromancy, we now find allowing or helping the dead to cross over. We also have the usual mediumship, where you call in the dead and you speak to them, which falls under the arena of necromancy or the divinatory arts. But it can extend into a lot of things. It can extend into helping the loved ones who are left behind through their grief. It can be or extend into graveyard work. So there's a lot of areas we can actually look at in terms of necromancy. And so there are a lot of demons you can work with in this regard. Now, two of the best books for this are by S. Connolly. There is Honoring Death, The Art of Demonolatry Necromancy. And then following on from that is Keys of Volcat. So Connolly has, in Keys of a Cat specifically, has a lot of demons that are listed and their attributes listed and what they are best for to work with in this regard. Amongst some of them, Azazel, Eurynomus, Bulbareth. Bulbareth is the Prince of Dying. There's Baba El. Baba El is often considered to be Baal or Ba'el. You'll find Ba'el as the first demon in the Goetia. Baba El is a keeper of graves. There's also Mephisto, Beleth, Boon. And then extending into Hades, Hecate, Thanatos, Anubis, and there's a whole list of gods and goddesses from the Egyptian pantheon, which are listed in there as well. So there's a lot we can work with. Now, personally, I work with, I suppose we could say a team. So most of the bees, but I would personally suggest Eurynomus, Bulbareth, Baba El, and Boon and Leviathan. Some people would choose Beleth instead of Leviathan. I'll explain why. So Eurynomus is the god of death, or the demon of death. So Eurynomus would be considered to be more or less an overall aspect of the entire necromantic arts. And Eurynomus is, the energy of Eurynomus is very comforting, very warming. So Eurynomus can be called on for all of the aspects, if you ask me. So it can be, Eurynomus can be called for helping grief as well as helping the dead. So Eurynomus is probably the main go-to usually when it comes to demons related to death and necromancy. Bulbareth is the Prince of Dying. So Bulbareth focuses, or I find, Bulbareth focuses a lot more on helping the dead cross over and things like that. So it is the aspect of dying rather than the rather than focusing on the loved ones left behind and their grief, and as a, rather than the aspect of the actual part of death after crossing. Channeling and things like that, this is more the process of dying itself. So he is the Prince of Dying. Then if you want to do graveyard work, Baal, Keeper of the Graves. You can call on Baba El during an actual funerary ceremony, during the funerary rites. In fact, I would call on all three. I usually work with all three, Euronymous, Bulbareth, and Baba El in this respect, for the entire funerary process. Because there is the dying process, there's the release that needs to happen, there's Euronymous, which covers the demon of death aspect, and then it's also the Keeper of the Grave, so the funerary aspect with Baba El. Then, if it's anything to do with mediumship, so if you are going to use a talking board, or you're going to do table tapping or direct channeling of the dead, I would suggest working with Boon, or Bune, as some people say. Now, Boon is often thought of only as being a demon which can help you with finances, monetary gain, and things like that. But Boon also has a necromantic aspect, and this is mostly in regards to guardianship or protector. She is very good at keeping an eye on the gates, keeping an eye on the portal which you open. So when you do any kind of channeling work or any kind of mediumship, what you're going to be doing, you know, especially when we're working with the dead, what you're going to be doing is opening a portal. And, you know, I think a lot of people throw themselves into this and they don't even consider the portal aspect, which means that they usually don't close it afterwards, and therefore, and then it becomes a bit of a problem, which is why things like the Ouija board, the talking board, spirit board have gotten a bad rap and a bad name. Spirits getting attached to them and things like that, because people don't work with them properly. So with any tool, if you don't work with it properly, you could end up with problems. So when you are doing that kind of mediumship or channeling, talking with the dead, you are going to be opening a doorway between the worlds, and then things are going to be coming through. And when you open doorways or portals between worlds, the one thing that usually gets attracted to it are astral parasites. So if you haven't got a proper guardian at the door, then the astral parasites just come rushing through. They see, oh, opening, light, let's go. So Boon is a very good one to use here. It's my suggestion anyway. Ask Boon to stand at the gate and guard it. And she will keep out any of the trash, really. And you can also ask Boon to just bring through the spirits that you want to deal with, you want to talk with, and she will kind of keep check. And then when you're finished, remember to close the portal. If you don't know how to close the portal, find out and practice. It is a very important thing. You can't just say thank you and put the board away or put the tool away and then walk off. You're going to leave this big door open and nobody guarding it. So you need to learn how to close the portal after you've done the work. Let's see, and then we have Leviathan. Leviathan I work with for grief, for helping those who are left behind with their grief and to get over it. Some people will focus on Beleth here. I have worked with Leviathan in the past for this specific thing, and the results have just been astounding. Leviathan helps with emotions, helps with emotional imbalances in general, not just in a necromantic form or helping grief of loved ones and things like that, but in a general aspect, Leviathan helps to balance emotions. So if you do have an emotional imbalance, you can work with Leviathan to help correct that. And the same applies when we are talking about grief and loss. You know, we can go through months and possibly even years with that grief, and it will throw us from one side of the room to the other. It will continue to be an imbalance until it's dealt with, until it's actually healed. And Leviathan, I find that what Leviathan does is he kind of comes in and he helps to balance those emotions out so they're not like throwing you all over the place on a constant basis. Balance the emotions out, and it allows the person to not feel them as intensely but still have them. So they are still experiencing those emotions, because those emotions are very important in that process. So still experience them, still have them, but kind of almost remove themselves from that, so they can watch, they can observe, they can understand what's going on, they can understand the process that's happening, that has happened, the process of the person dying, the process of the grief that they are going through, the importance of it, but not be completely and utterly consumed by it. And that process itself allows them to kind of view it from a different perspective, from a different viewpoint, and allows them to heal from it. So I would consider that to be a very important thing. And so yeah, those are the demons. Let me just check my notes here. I don't think there was anything else. No, that's really it. I would definitely suggest getting honoring death at least. It's a very, very good book, very important book actually for this specific thing. And Keys of a Cat is a bit more advanced. So, you know, start with Honoring Death. If you do want to continue into it and delve into it a lot further, then Keys of a Cat will. That, you know, Keys of a Cat starts talking about gate opening, actual banishing, exorcisms, funerary rites. So it goes a lot deeper into the aspects that you would need if you become a necromancer. But if it's just a one-off thing or passing interest, something that you want to understand more but you don't necessarily want to delve into and become a necromancer, then, you know, Honoring Death is a fantastic book. It really is. All right, so that's it for this week, and I'll see you next week for more. Have a good one. Until then, cheers for now. Bye bye. This podcast was brought to you by, well, myself, Lee W. Johnson. To find out more about me, please visit my website at leewjohnson.com or check out my link tree in the description of this podcast. If you like the video format, then subscribe to my YouTube channel, where I also host a live show every Friday with Rev Kai called The Black Hat Chat. It's just two witches chatting about traditional witchcraft and other topics. That's me for this week. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks for listening.